What I want to do tonight is I want to talk to you about being a vessel for God's purposes and encouraging you in that this evening. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We know God designed you on purpose and for a purpose. Each one of you are called to be a vessel for God and used by Him to carry out His will on earth. We know that this, we come to this building is, we call it the church, but it's not the church. We're the church. We're the vessel through which He flows. God's placed a deposit of His Spirit inside of you, His body, to permeate the atmosphere and the world around you, that we can be carriers of His kingdom and power, to walk in authority, to be the salt and the light of the earth, to carry the good news to the lost and dying world. That you would arise in these last days, these perilous last days, and that you would know and that you would proclaim, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me," that's you, to bring good news to the poor. "He has sent me," that's you, "to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Do you believe it? Is that truly your desire? I don't know about you, but I want to see those who are hurting and sick and addicted and hopeless and bondage and lost to know Christ. I want them to know the power of His resurrection, to walk in freedom and have life and it more abundant. Isn't it awesome that He just not gives us life, but He says, "and it more abundant"? That's overflowing. That goes beyond what we could even understand. That goes beyond what we can even imagine. It's the abundance, the overflow. It never ends. The blessings of God, when we just stay in His presence, they never end. That's the beauty. That's what I want people to know. It's not hard being a Christian. It's not hard living this life. I've lived unsaved. I've lived hopeless in darkness. And I love where it says, but God saved me and delivered me out of darkness so I can proclaim who He is, right? That's who we are. I want to be a vessel for Christ. I hope that's your desire. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "He gave Himself for us to be set free from every wrong and to cleanse us so that we could be His special people who are enthusiastic about doing good deeds." Jesus gave His life so that we can be excited to do His works. Enthusiastic. It's our desire, our will. It's what we wake up wanting to do. It's what we, when we lay our head on the pillow at night, we're seeking the Lord and we're inclining our ear to what it is that He wants us to do. We rest in Him. Our eyes are fixed on Him. Our hearts are fixed on Him. So when He tells us to do something, we want to do it. We dwell on the good things of Him, that even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's out of what is usual, even when it goes beyond what we think that we can do, that we desire because we have meditated on who He is and we know that He is good and His ways are above our ways, right? We're enthusiastic. If there is ever a time that we need to be a vessel for God and to be used on this earth, we know it's now. We know time is short and we see what's going on in the world. We see what's going on in the nations. We see what's going on in our communities. And sometimes we see what's even going on in our families with our loved ones. Time is short. Are you eager to do his will? Are you eager to pick up your cross daily? Are you willing to lay yourself aside and say, I die daily, and truly be crucified? Because God's ways are greater. Living as a vessel, useful and prepared for every work, is always going to require consecration. Always. Consecration positions us not only to see the glory of God revealed, but it prepares us for spiritual service. Consecration is a solemn commitment to set ourselves apart for God to do a specific work in us to reveal himself to us and through us. It's separating ourselves from things that are unclean, especially anything that is going to contaminate our relationship with a God who is still holy and righteous. His standard is still holiness and righteousness. That word's not outdated. It's not an old-fashioned concept. That is the standard of God, and it is for us, and that's what we're called to be, his righteous and holy people. I love the word holy. I love the word righteousness. There's something that stirs in my spirit when I just say righteousness, holiness. We can't be walking in the purpose of God if we're walking in the ways of the world. We can't make an eternal difference in the world if we look just like them. We have to be different in our attitudes and what comes out of our mouth. How we love and how we treat others, what we consume, what we do in a private time when no one is looking. It has to be different than the world. What you're viewing on TV has to be different than the world. What you're listening to, what music you're listening to, has to be different than the world. We have to guard our hearts. Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Even if we don't understand it, even if we don't gain the full revelation of what it is that he's leading us in and what he's directing our footsteps to go, we need to rest and be rest assured that his will is still good, it's still pleasing, and it is still perfect. And that's for us. And that's for those it involves. His will is still perfect. Even if it's hard, his will is still perfect, Mandy. Even if it's difficult and uncomfortable, his will is still pleasing. It's good. The Message version says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best in you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what I want. I want to be spiritually immature. I don't want to be drugged down to its level of immaturity, to its level of unholiness and unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, it says, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world's passing away in all its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Lives forever. We're already warned in Matthew, it says, because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Where's your love tonight? Who do you love tonight? Or what do you love tonight? 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last day. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Is your love cold this evening? Are you lukewarm? We know he spits us out if we're lukewarm. We have to continue to kindle our love for God. The letter to the church in Ephesus warned them, I know your deeds. We may be doing all the things for God. We still may be going through, we may be serving him in the church or in ministry or out in the workplace. We might be doing a whole lot of good deeds, but this is the warning that he gave the church in Ephesus in Revelations. I know your deeds, your hard work and your perseverance, but goes on to say in verse 4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. That's a bold warning. What I love about the Word of God, it's not really confusing. It really does spell it out there. And I love that. We can be lovers of the world and let our love for God grow cold. We have to continue our love for God in these days despite the evil around us. We know that if we go along with the crowd around us, it's never going to lead us towards God. It's never going to develop a love for God. It's never going to spur it on. It's never going to encourage it because the world is in opposition to him. And so we can't say that it's okay to dabble here and dabble there and go here and go there when we know it doesn't please God because it's always going to lead us away from him. It opposes him. What I love about the Holy Spirit is after I got saved, I was living in the world as much as anybody else living in the world. I have war stories, so to speak. And thank God by the Holy Spirit that he placed inside of me, that he began to say, Amanda, you can't go there. Amanda, you can't drink that. Listen to me. You can't drink that. I don't care what the world says. You can't drink that. You can't consume that. That can't come out of your mouth anymore. That attitude is not pleasing to me. The way you're loving that person is not how I would love that person. Did it hurt? Yes. But we know discipline hurts in the moment. But it's for our good. It's for our benefit. He disciplines us because he loves us. Because his will is still perfect and pleasing and good. Right? And so we shift closer to him and further away from the world because when we love God, we don't want anything to separate us from him. That's the power of loving God. That's the power of falling in love with someone. You don't want to be separate from them and you don't want to do anything that's going to separate them from you. We have to fuel our love for God to remain steadfast in him. Consecrated to him, dedicated to him, devoted to him in these last days. We know that whatever we do all for the glory of God. We need to guard our actions. We need to even guard our influence. Because whatever we do is either going to shift people closer to God or it's going to shift them away from God. There's no in between. There's no middle ground, and we can't lie to ourselves and say that how we live isn't impacting those around us. Because if you think back to when you grew up, the people who sowed into you impacted you. The people around you now impact you now. So we can't lie to ourselves and say, well, I'm only hurting myself. No. God placed us in community. God placed us in the body. And when one part of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. We have to be mindful. We have to live in the Word. We have to live in Christ. We have to be obedient. It's time to get rid of all filth and sin, to get rid of every weight that hinders. Exodus 19, it talks about God instructing Moses to have the children of God pull away and consecrate themselves because he was going to visit them. God still wants to visit us. He wants to show up every day, but he wants to show up even more, and he wants to show up in a powerful way. He still speaks. He is still speaking. He still wants to open up your spiritual eyes to visions that you can't even imagine. He wants to reveal secrets in the Word. I tell the young adults that when I look at the Word, it's like it's treasures. When the Holy Spirit opens up your eyes to the understanding and the knowledge of the Word, it's little treasures that he gives you. And they don't return void. It's not like he gives it to you and then takes it back. It's a word that is a seed inside of you that comes to fruition, that brings life and transformation. That's the type of gift that I want, and that's in the Word. That's why it's so important that we need to be getting into the Word. And I thank God that we have pastors that sow the Word in us when they can and at every moment. We can't ever get away from the Word. The Word is life. The Word is power. It is God speaking to us. It's his love letter to us. It was in that time of consecration that God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, after the Israelites wandered into the wilderness for 40 days, Moses passed on and Joshua was leading, and he told them, "Consecrate or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." God still wants to do wonders, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what you've experienced in the past, regardless of maybe disappointments and discouragement. God still is doing the miraculous, and he still wants to do wonders in your life and through you. He wants us to show his glory. He wants to reveal through us the power of his kingdom. There is something that happens when we set ourselves apart. There's something that happens when we fast and we pray and we get alone with him and we get into our quiet time and we get into the closet, so to speak, and we block out distractions and we fix our eyes and our ears and our heart on him once again. We don't come out of there the same. We absolutely will not. If you're struggling, if there is something that you're burdened about, if you're confused, if you're questioning, if you need direction, if you need wisdom, you need to get into the closet again. The prayer closet, that is. Right? It's an act that God honors because it's an act of surrender and obedience. And we know, and thank you, Pastor Cindy, for always sowing this, blessings always follow obedience. Four words, sow them in there. It will keep you. Consecration is still the gateway to the glory of God, to a fresh anointing, to an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's the way we recalibrate how we can gain boldness in our walk with God and how we learn to call the kingdom of God to earth. It's a process. We have to learn that. Even the disciples walked with Jesus. They spent time with him. He taught them. And who are we to think that we're not the same? We need to spend time with him if we're going to be like him. We need to spend time with him and listen to him and get his direction and his influence if we're going to permeate the earth with his aroma and not death and decay or something contrary to his spirit. We have to set ourselves apart to God, submitting our body, our flesh, our will, our heart, our desires before God so we can see him move once again. We need him in these last days. We need him. We're seeing it played out in media everywhere. I mean, you can go into town these days and you can see what is going on, and we need God. And I love people, but we know that we can still speak the truth in love. And we need that boldness in these last days, that we're not gonna cower back, we're not gonna draw back in fear, but that we're still gonna proclaim, like the early apostles in Acts, the truth of the word, so it will bring life. Right? We need that. And the only way that we're going to get that boldness and even the desire to do that is if we're consecrating ourselves, if we're continuously surrendering and obeying him, that we're putting aside our own selfish desires and motives and agendas. It can't be about us anymore, church. It just can't be. We can't be seekers of self and seekers of just what we want. That's not how it's supposed to be. That's out of alignment right there. We need to get back into alignment. And if you're struggling with that, it's a red flag. That's what I tell my clients. Well, that's a red flag. Did you see that red flag? Woo, that just whizzed right on by, didn't it? And I'll joke with them. We need to look at the red flags when the Holy Spirit pricks our heart. He's not condemning us. He's stepping us into life. Right? Consecration keeps us pure and guards us. It's a guard for us in this sinful world. And we know that sin leads to what? It leads to death every time. Are you desperate to see God move? Do you want to grow in spiritual maturity? Do you want the darkness to be driven out of your home? Your loved ones, your workplace, your community, this nation. I asked Amy. Amy sent a really powerful message to the women's group that meets on Mondays. I'm really excited. It's going to be my first Monday. I get off at 6 on Mondays. I'll be a little late. But I'll be here. But I encourage you, if you're a woman to come, because I can already tell that it's going to be powerful, and I'm excited. And we need to be surrounded by other people of like faith, right? But Amy, will you come and share what you did? Share with the group.
You are needed, brothers and sisters. You are making a difference, an eternal difference. Keep praying, keep speaking, keep pressing. Do not do it for the sake of those coming behind you. Do it for your children. Do it for your grandchildren. Do it for your families. Do it for your marriage. Do it for that complete stranger that you just passed on the street. Be a voice, stand in the gap. Jennifer Jecker shared this word, and this is what I shared with the group. Esther's arise, Mordecai's arise. God has need of you, brothers and sisters. I know that you have been told that you are too much. I know that you have been told to keep silent. I know that you have battled doubt and insecurities, but he needs your voice. He needs your boldness. There is a generation that is bound that needs you to go before the king of this hour. You weren't ever called to play it safe. You were always called to be a different breed. When others misunderstood your passion, God was building your voice. When others overlooked you, he was bathing you in oil. When others settled for a title, you were being prepared for a crown. Never meant to fit in, you were meant to stand out. You were made for sugar and spice and everything nice. You were knitted together with holy grit and a consuming fire. You were created. You weren't created to fit into a mold. You were created to tear down strongholds and to push back forces of darkness. God called you and he separated you. He needs you to be the wailing men and women of Zion. He needs you to drive a tent peg into the camp of the enemy. He needs you to take the scarlet thread and wrap it around your home. He needs you to take the tambourine and lead the march to freedom. He needs you to grab a hold of the horns of the altars and to travail. He needs you to pour out your alabaster jar. He needs you to carry his word into the world. He needs you to lift up your voice like a trumpet for the sake of those coming behind you. Arise, Esther. Arise, Mordecai. Silence is no longer an option. You were called to be a voice of this generation. So let me encourage you in this. Don't be distracted by what you see in the natural. Hell's agenda is on full display, but we have read the book. We know how the story ends. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, and we win. Don't get weary in well-doing. You will reap what you sow. Praise, sow prayer, sow his holy word, sow fasting, sow joy, sow forgiveness, sow peace, sow love, sow grace, sow mercy, sow gratitude. For when you do, all of these things will be returned to you. The shaking has a purpose. It is to reveal the deep-rooted darkness. It is not meant to destroy the church. It is meant to build it up. Make it stronger. Set it as a beacon of light and hope for all the world to see and run to. Do what you know to do. God is just getting started, but he needs you to be a part of it.
That is very powerful. That's very powerful. You're needed. I think sometimes we can have strongholds built up in our mind that because I'm too old or I'm this age or I haven't been educated in this or I haven't done this yet, that we think that God can't use us. He can. He just wants a willing vessel, a surrendered vessel. That's all he wants. He just wants someone that says, here I am. Send me. Use me, Lord. I want to do it. It's uncomfortable, but I want to do it. Because I love you and I want to see you move on the earth. That's got to be our heart cry tonight. That we want to see him, that it's beyond us. It's not about us anymore, it's about him and seeing him released on the earth, in us and through us.